Part 1. The Endangered Species Act Amendments of 1982. Printed for the use of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, U.S. Government Printing Office, Washington, 1983. Findings, Purposes, and Policy. B. Purposes. The purposes of this act are to provide a means whereby the ecosystems upon which endangered species and threatened species depend may be conserved, to provide a program for the conservation of such endangered species and threatened species, and to take such steps as may be appropriate to achieve the purposes of the treaties and conventions set forth in subsections of this section. Chapter 1. Joe lived, but it wasn't something he was particularly proud of. It was now fall, and Sunday morning dawned slate gray and cold. He was making pancakes for his girls when he first heard of the bloody beast who had come down from the mountains and tried to enter the house during the night. 7-year-old Sheridan Pickett related her dream aloud to the stuffed bear that served as her confidant. Lucy, 3 and horrified, listened in. The television set was on, even though the reception from the vintage satellite dish was snowy and poor, as usual. The monster, Sheridan said, had come down from the mountains through the dark, steep canyon behind the house very late last night. She watched it through a slit in the curtain on her window, just a few inches from the top bunk of her bed. The canyon was where Sheridan had always suspected a monster would come from, and she felt proud, if a bit fearful, that she had been right. The only light had been the moon through the dried leaves of the cottonwood tree. The monster had rattled the back gate before figuring out the latch, and had then lurched clumsily, sort of like mummies in old movies, across the yard to the back door. Its eyes and teeth glinted yellow, and for a second, Sheridan felt an electric bolt jolt through her as the monster's head swiveled around and seemed to look directly at her before it fled. The monster was hairy and shiny, as if covered with liquid. Twigs and leaves were stuck to it. There was something white, a large sack or box, swinging from the monster's hand. "Sheridan, stop talking about monsters," Joe called out. The dream disturbed him because the details were so precise. Sheridan's dreams were usually more fantastic, inhabited by talking pets or magical things that flew. "You're going to scare your little sister."
"I'm already scared," Lucy declared, pulling her blanket to her mouth.
Then the man walked slowly away across the yard through the gate toward the woodpile, where he fell down into a big shadow. "And he's still out there," Sheridan finished, widening her eyes toward her sister to deliver the complete effect. "Hold it, Sheridan," Joe said abruptly, entering the room with a spatula in his hand. Joe was wearing his threadbare terry cloth bathrobe he had purchased on a lark in Jackson Hole on his and Marybeth's honeymoon 10 years before. He shuffled in fleece slippers that were a size too large. "You said man. You didn't say monster, you said man."
Sheridan looked up quizzically, her big eyes wide. "Maybe it was a man. Maybe it wasn't a dream, after all."
Joe heard a vehicle outside, racing up the gravel Bighorn Road much too fast. But by the time he crossed the living room and parted the faded drapes of the front picture window, the car or truck was gone. Dust rolled lazily down the road where it had been. Beyond the window was the front yard, still green from summer and littered with plastic toys. Then there was the white fence, recently painted, paralleled by the gravel road. Farther, beyond the road, the landscape dipped into a willow-choked saddle, where the 12 Sleep River branched out into 6 fingers, clogged with beaver ponds and brackish mosquito heaven eddies, and paused for a breath before its muscular rush through and past the town of Saddle String.
Beyond were the folds of the valley as it arched and suddenly climbed to form a precipitous mountain face known as Wolf Mountain, a peak in the 12 Sleep Range.